Welcome back to the Business Behind Your Business podcast. Today, we're actually recording live so we can share this with you in video format. So if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is the Business Behind Your Business, you can see us in all our splendid visual glory. Although I say I've got a good head for podcasting. We're going to have some slides, or I guess some diagrams, infographics shared today, which highlight some of the topic that we're going to talk about. But if you're listening in your car, we don't want you to be distracted while you're driving. So those handouts will be available for you to download in the show notes or on the Business Behind Your Business website. So that's the businessbehindyourbusiness.com. Welcome back. I'm Paul Sweeney, your host. I'm a chartered accountant, a business advisor. But we're going to be talking today about labor shortages. Now, why is an accountant talking about labor shortages? Well, I will save you the worry. The accountant is not going to be talking about labor shortages. I have brought in the human resources expert from our team, Mr. Paul Cripps. Welcome back.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much for having us on the podcast and on the video. What do we call it? Video cast? Is this one, given it's the first time we've done a video together as well? Very good to be back. And obviously, as always, look forward to sharing some of the content I've got to go through today and hope providing some insightful information to people that are either watching or listening to the podcast.
Yeah, that's great. Look, I'm not sure what the correct terminology is. It seems to vary from expert to expert, whether it's a podcast or a video podcast or
just
a podcast. Vlogging, yes. Lots of different terminology. But I think the key thing is that the message is here, and we're here to have another conversation that's going to help business listeners in running their business. And look, we've had you on the podcast quite a number of times, and there's a very good reason for that at the moment, is that employees, labor, your labor force as a business owner, they are critical to your business and always in the top three issues when I talk to business owners about what's going on and what are their concerns. And we're at this situation. We've talked about the great resignation race, and I keep telling people it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Supply chain shortages and COVID issues and lockdowns have come up. But now the big thing that's hitting business owners everywhere is labor shortages. And you wanted to go through about some strategies about how we manage in a time when labor is in short supply. Also, I guess the other factor that's coming in, because labor is in short supply, there's a lot of pressure on wages. So you've got some great strategies to share with us. But I think you've got a great, I guess, heading or title for this topic, which is Standing Tall Through Labor Shortages. I like the way you phrase that because, you know, small business owners are getting attacked from everywhere. So we want to see you standing tall and surviving and pushing through all of these issues that are confronting you at the moment. So, Paul, how does a small, medium business owner stand tall through the labor shortages we're experiencing at the moment?
Yeah, and I think the first point you made, Paul, is absolutely right as well. It's everybody's probably fed up last year about hearing about the great resignation race. And you quite rightly say, very much a marathon, not a sprint. I think that if I was to call this the great resignation race part two, people would switch off straight away. So a creative title was certainly I think, a good move for this one. And as you say, there's, as ever, a lot of things, there's no silver bullet on this. I think what I really wanted to cover is probably just to help what I call complete the jigsaw, is to really talk about why we're where we are, and then go talk a little about alignment versus retention, and then go cover probably some proactive tools about that businesses can use in their everyday business. So perhaps first of all, I'm going to talk through these through these slides, and but it'll also the audio hopefully will make sense as well. There's four pieces of information here which I call really about the perfect storm. So really and truly what we had, some of it we had coming already, some of it may have taken us by surprise, some perhaps things shouldn't have taken us by surprise. And we've got one graphic there, which talked about, net migration. There are obviously, in the years, 2020 and 2021, net migration was actually obviously backwards, with people, leaving the country and borders being closed. But it actually hasn't necessarily kept up with skill shortages even in the years prior to that as well. So that's really, I guess, factor number one of this perfect storm. The second one, the second graphic there looks about our population within Australia. Just what demonstrates how we've very much got an aging population. And one thing that COVID brought around as well is some people are deciding maybe actually then they're going to use it as an opportunity either to stop work. Some people wanted what was, I think, called the sea change and the great exit out of big cities to work in more remote locations. And for some people, that might be that they're working differently. And certainly I've had other people that have actually thought about actually, well, maybe they're just going to leave the employment world and start up their own business as well. I'm sure you, Paul, also come across a few success stories of people that started a business during these last couple of years as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the statistic that's being used or reported is that one in four people who have resigned from a position have actually done so to start up a business of their own. And starting a business has become a lot easier, and maybe our listeners are some of those one in four that have actually started a business during COVID. What that's meant is that the talent pool available to existing businesses or businesses looking to hire, that shrunk considerably. Yeah. And we're not just talking about side hustles here, because, you know, side hustles have become quite trendy. We're talking about fully fledged businesses where they've actually, you know, gone 100% at making this business work. So 25% of the resignations have been to start businesses. Yes. And then we have this aging population, which you've talked about. I know in Australia, that has been quite significant. We've been sort of talking about this for a long time. A lot of them are looking to exit. And I know that some of our clients have actually brought forward their retirement plans by 3 to 5 years because of the onset of COVID.
That's interesting. And it's always good to sit, like, see the theory versus, I guess, what you see in practice as well, Paul, because I seem to remember actually conversations about an aging population. I think when I first set foot in Australia for a working perspective back in mid 2002. So it's, as you say, it's nothing new. It's been happening for a while, but it's still there now. And there's two others as well. Some of the information carrying from the ABS was that there was massive demand for people in professional roles. That was already expected to hit us between 2022 and 2026. I think it's fair to say that we're in for that ride there. Community and personal services workers are one that's also there as well, managers and technicians. There's a whole list of potential skill shortages. And then the obvious one, as we know, lowest unemployment rates, which are been for 48 years. So, that's I guess, probably the one that's hit the headlines perhaps more than a lot of others.
Has that caught people by surprise, Paul? Because really, one of the things we expected a lot during COVID was that unemployment would go, increase significantly.
It's ironic,
but we've had the opposite seem to have happened.
Yeah. No, it is ironic, isn't it? And I think, Luca, and I think you probably, one of the points you covered earlier on, Paul, as well, as people that have actually decided to, start their own business as well, probably have also hit that number as well. The combination of those four really are what I call in terms of why we are where we are now. So everybody likes to talk about closed borders and COVID. It's really a combination of factors there. But also a combination of factors that were going to hit us in some way as well. And one of the things some of the things we're talking about today, we're bringing them up because of where we are. But having said that, there's some good habits to get into. I call basically losing good people the leaky bucket syndrome. I guess probably historically people have lost good people. And they've actually replaced them with new people without necessarily counting the cost of losing that good person. When supply has been there to get someone else on board, perhaps people have been less concerned about the cost of losing them, but it's still a cost. So some good habits now that businesses can learn, which is the driver is the scenario we're in now with labour shortages, but there are some good practices to put in place now, which hopefully will help in years to come as well.
Yeah, I think we were talking before about the shortage of particular levels of skill. And I know the professional services is one area where we've had this period of where labour supply was, bountiful, and we didn't invest in training the next group coming through or the next wave of experience. And a lot of businesses ceased hiring inexperienced people and training them. But the problem was that, that happened 5 years ago, and now everybody wants the person with 5 years' experience. So that person with 5 years' experience is commanding a much higher salary because they're in such short supply. So we sort of created this cycle. I know the accounting profession has really struggled with this over the last 30, 40 years in that it goes in cycles and we don't hire at the entry level. And then 5 years later, we've got this shortage of experienced people. So I think the professions are one, but also I think in the skilled area, the skilled trades area and health industry, so doctors, nursing staff, we've got some real shortages there. And normally we would look to overseas to fill a lot of those skill shortages.
That's right. I think actually you saw something came out yesterday actually in terms of, some more pathways to get skilled people in the country. But that's not going to happen quickly. You hear stories around how long visa processing times are taking. Different governments might talk about trying to ease some of the pain there. I think for many decades now in Australia, it's not been easy to go through and obtain a visa to come into the country for working purposes. And I don't think that's going to change overnight. I think that's going to be something which is going to help us, but it's not going to be certainly not going to be a quick fix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think any of these solutions are really a quick fix for business owners. So, look, I've got some ideas about where businesses should go, but I think you've got plenty of information to share with us on this.
Sure, yes. I suppose what I look to do, first of all, at a top level, is to always make sure that there's a 5-point structured plan. It's always what I suggest to businesses. That's really for any scenario, any situation at any time. But it's important at this time. So, 5 points, this is the HR framework for Australia, and 5 points really are to, for a business to measure where they are currently, to have the right kind of HR systems and processes in place, and those that relate to governance and compliance, really to minimize the risk. And I think what we're talking about today is hopefully things which are actually, managing performance, but also then getting the most out of people to really maximize your investment on people. I think it's, I always call that the left and the right-hand side of HR. I always laugh because, people buy because of pain on the right-hand side, but the real return on investment is to spend on the left-hand side. But that's the nature of life. I think the one thing I wanted to cover next, Paul, is also to talk about this concept about how important it is to get people aligned to what a business does and why people actually stay in a business as well. So the model on the left there looks about alignment. So it's always important to make sure people in a business are actually aligned to the strategy of that business. That model talks to businesses with low and high levels of strategy and low and high levels of action. And the key thing is the relationship between the two. So when you've got what people do every day, being aligned to the strategy of business, that business will be helped you pause for success. And actually, if you then convert that into the model on the right-hand side, when you've got people, this is on an individual level, when you've got somebody that knows where they want to get to in their role or in their career, and they've got a plan and they're putting actions in place, that person is going to be successful with that business. Because once again, it's relationship between action and knowing what to do that's key. What you want to do is actually basically for people to make sure they know where they're going and they've got a plan in place. Now, where you've got concerns is where you've got people that actually perhaps know what they want to do and they're not doing anything. I think probably a lot of exits in business would be what we call on this model career stallers, and then people that are actually not doing anything related to their growth will be career risk. And then obviously you've got people that actually don't know what they want to do and they're not doing anything. Now you could argue there are the steady type people that you need in the business, but I would argue at this stage it's important to check in with everybody, because people sometimes don't always like to really express what's going on. And my next graphic's on what I call my favorite, the iceberg. I've used an iceberg sort of graphic in many situations before, and it applies to this one as well. This one talks to, if you like, what you can actually see above the line. So things that are very visible, feedback that's given. But it's also important to think about the things that are less common, like employees don't always like to give bad news about their situation. Sometimes in a larger business, managers and supervisors might put their own spin about what's going on. So you've got, therefore, probably a lot of information that's hidden below the waterline. And really, businesses, if they've got the information to hand, and if they already knew the information, they'd be acting upon it. So I always think it's actually good for businesses to go through a process to really understand what's going on now more than ever. I was to say, there's some good habits here that would apply at any particular time.
This alignment here of the employees with the stage of the business. Now, if businesses are going through different stages, I'm guessing the environment of a startup business would be very different to an established business where the owner is looking to exit for retirement.
That's right.
So we've got to look at not just what stage your employees are at, but does that change as your business evolves? So,
yeah, absolutely right. It certainly would change, and you're absolutely right, Paul. If you've got a business that's in startup and businesses that are exiting the market, they're going to basically position themselves very differently. But ultimately, you could argue even a business that's looking to exit, it's about somebody trying to maximize the value of their business. If they can actually get to a point where they might be wanting to exit the business, but they can actually get the most value, if they've got people in that business, getting them lined up to strategy so there's something that's more valuable to sell, is going to be a much, much better position.
Yeah, having your team aligned with the business is critical at any stage. Look, if you're in that period of growing your business, you want the right employees in the right roles. You don't want somebody that's developing a key process to be somebody that's going to turn on a dime and exit to go find the next shiny career. Want somebody there for the long term. Look, we're talking about long-term retention. I think that the retention period of most employees is becoming shorter and shorter. So we need to look at more about what can we do to retain employees in the long run. And the longer you've got employees, you do retain that knowledge, you retain that understanding of processes. And the smaller your business, the loss of a key employee can have a much bigger impact.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, for a small business, one person leaving can have a catastrophic impact on a particular business. And I think it's the case now. It's certainly been the case for some time as well.
Yeah. Are we more aware of it now because of the COVID conditions and because labor is in such short supply?
I think we are. I think that actually highlights it. And I think if people are easy to come by, labor's in good supply and people can just plug the gap quite quickly, there's probably been less of a concern in the past. But I always talk about the hidden cost of turnover. And sometimes people are more forgiving if there's someone that can come in to pick up a role when somebody good leaves. But there's still a cost, right? So, which is why I say, basically in this difficult situation, learn some good habits now. And keep them because ultimately that will serve a business well when labor is in better supply, whenever that might be, which it's certainly not going to be quick anyway. It's going to take a while.
So, look, Paul, you mentioned about this retention strategy and how employees need to be aligned. So what are some of the key things that employees are concerned with? Because I think that has probably changed, and particularly over the past few years.
Right. Yeah. I've got two slides. One's actually about some of the changes and concerns of employers. So then I'll go on to talk about some of the concerns of employees. This research comes out of a tool I use called Style Workplace. So this is based on real data coming from businesses over the last 2 years, and I like to stress it's Australian as well. This is not something we've imported from the US or the UK. This is very much Australian. So the first one's no surprise, I think, that concerns of employers about paying people correctly to keep them. We also touched already on about very high inflation of wages in certain sectors. Probably a little bit linked to that as well, and the conversation we have earlier on as well, Paul, around having employers that also have concern about internal succession planning. How potentially are they going to replace some of their key people, or in some cases replace themselves? And sometimes that's a cascade throughout the whole business, as you said, in terms of a lack of talent sometimes at the very bottom end can have an impact further up. The third of the five concerns is about the concerns over planning, problem solving and making decisions in the environment we've been in. Next one was being managing employee expectations. So that can mean a whole number of different things. But I think it was just generally in terms of employers were feeling less comfortable over the last couple of years in terms of, you know, are they doing the right thing? And that's sometimes led by the debate about hybrid working, working from home goes on and will never end. And there are schools of thoughts that all opposite ends of the spectrum that I come across all the time. And there's certainly no miracle answer there. And not surprising, the fifth and the final one there was around being able to convert applicants to employees. I think in a situation where in a market where labour is in short supply, employees have held the cards and employees have had a lot more choice than they've had in the past. I think that certain businesses have looked to take some action on this about, okay, so what can we do as an employer to be more attractive to people that want to come and join us? And once again, there's no right or wrong answer there. There's no miracle answer there. But it's certainly something for employers to think about. How can they, what can they do to be different to the competition out there?
Yeah. So, you know, that point of difference of why would somebody come and work for your business compared to your competitor? What's the point of difference? Why would it be so much better to work for you? That's a key thing there. And it's probably even more important now, because it's not a case of, you know, there's jobs shortage. There's actually the labor shortage. So it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. But I think, and this is something we've talked about as well, it's about how you onboard your employees. And I know we've had multiple discussions. In fact, I think earlier podcasts, we talked about this whole process of how you onboard an employee quickly. And it's linked not just to the culture of your business and the processes, but how well you've got systems documented, how well you've got your training set up. And for most small, medium businesses, when we come and ask that question, well, where are your processes and documentation? They're often all in the owner's head. Yes. And that's a dangerous place for them to stay. Because what it means, though, is if you've got new employees coming on, you as the owner have to train them on everything. So, yeah. It's even if you don't currently experience a labor shortage, it's a good time to start thinking about how your processes are documented, how you would train somebody. There's so many tools out there to capture how you do things. Like, video recording of processes, even if it's, it doesn't have to be Spielberg. You just capture, this is how we do it, and showing them visually. But I think the other thing I wanted to ask you about a bit more is when you lose a key employee, I think the immediate response is to replace like with like.
Yes, yes.
and when that likeness is not there, or that likeness is there but at a huge premium, you've really got to ask, as a business owner, is the value there, or should I be doing things differently? And are you seeing that, is there a trend out there that people are not replacing like with like? They're actually looking for alternative ways of meeting their obligations, like, employing different kinds or styles of employees.
Look, I've seen a whole mixture, Paul. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's being creative about ideas. This is the time to be more creative if someone key does leave. I've had examples of where people, have perhaps changed the type of role. Sometimes it's been down to location as well. I have one client that decided to effectively open up a new location and tap into a different talent pool. And that's been very successful. So actually, where there was a shortage in their current location, to actually tap into talent in a different city has been something that's worked for them. And they've been able to, get themselves out of a tricky spot. It depends on the circumstances, but certainly thinking differently is really important. I went to a national HR conference a few weeks ago, and there was a keynote speaker there, and he was pretty much making the point that we're in this difficult situation where we've got people that are seemingly not wanting to work for a lot of your workplaces. Now's the time to really think outside the box, do something very different, because quite frankly, a lot of people that are, Gen Zs may not want to work in your workplaces. So unless you change now, then that's not going to help you to get people in place in time to come.
Mm-hmm. It'd be good to hear and see some of the comments and feedback from our listeners and about what they're having to do if they're experiencing labor shortages at the moment. What are you having to do, or what have you done to actually overcome a labor shortage? Because we all have to think creatively. The market is there, as we've seen, we talked about earlier, there is a shortage of supply for varying reasons, not just one. And you called it the perfect storm, the perfect labor storm. Certainly four of those things, we kept our eye on the aging population, because I think that was the thing that most concerned us, but then we've been hit by these other three factors that have come in. So what are our potential employees looking for?
Yeah. So look, here are five sort of like key concerns. Actually, interestingly, these are the top five key concerns that come from the same research as the employer's concerns. Remuneration, always comes in. That's still there as well. Look for a business that has sufficient planning and decision making. I often get asked a lot of questions about this one. I'm thinking, a lot of people say to me, "Oh, why would an employee care about that?" Well, the fact is, they do. They want to see a business that's well run. Basically, even if they don't like the decisions being made, is that there is actually efficient decisions being made in the business. When I think back to sometimes in the corporate world, and not all of them, but one of them I worked for that was incredibly slow in making decisions. The sort of businesses would really struggle. The opportunities for advancement's an interesting one. I think sometimes, and it depends on the size of the business. Sometimes with smaller businesses, that can be more difficult. I'm thinking of a couple of examples of a couple of different clients I'm working for at the moment of two ends of the scale. One's a business of five people, one's a business of 80 people. And they're actually doing some really good work in this area. Because they're actually trying to work out, okay, so how do we actually put something in place where we can actually map about how someone can actually advance in the company? And I think sometimes it's just having a plan there about how people can have that opportunity to advance. Or if there are situations, examples where it's happened in practice, I've got one client where there's been plenty of those that have happened, making something of it, making sure that's being celebrated and that story's being shared.
I think you can go outside that traditional hierarchy structure where it's like that pyramid progression up the ladder as you get more experience. And that, I think we're looking now is in terms of and certainly in the accounting side where we've had a very much a flatter pyramid structure is going outside those traditional roles and looking at, well, what else can we do that's going to provide some engagement, some ownership, some stimulation for our employees, give them something that they can take ownership of and create those opportunities. You know, we need to look outside of how we traditionally do things.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. Well, a couple of comments that I've heard recently, and probably link opportunities for advancement and professional development, probably, there is some linkages there, right? But I've had a couple of conversations recently, or very different conversations, but on the same topic of in businesses of talking to when I've going through and talking to them about what comes next in terms of their career on behalf of the employer, I've talked around people that actually look into what they do now. Their plan is to basically, effectively make their role redundant in about 3 years' time. And I've had sort of like the opposite end of the spectrum. One person that's very excited about doing that. Another person that's highly concerned about doing that, but for no reason. There's no reason why they shouldn't be excited about doing that. But it is the nature of pace at which businesses will change and continue to change. Replace what I'm doing now. Now, the chances are if they do a good job at that, there's going to be something else within that business that's around for them. Or if not, they've got an excellent skill set that's very portable somewhere else. But it is a mindset. I was quite fortunate that it was a mindset that got plugged into me quite a long time ago in the corporate world, and I think it applies very well now, even in much smaller businesses. The pace of technology and automation is not going to slow down. So I think people that think what they can do differently is a good strategy to have.
So employee concerns. I think. We've got style.
Yeah, so efficient workplaces, one I haven't covered. And I suppose once again, it's probably similar really in some ways to, I think that's a little bit linked also to efficient planned decision-making as well. So having things working efficiently. I always remember, once again, I'm going back to my my corporate days now of working for a company where would have been seen as very, very well oiled from the outside. So people didn't have unrealistic expectations. I used to say that, look, it's a bit of a squeaky wheel on the inside. So my tip here is, and it's a lot easier in small businesses to have things working very efficiently, because that's going to make you look good to your employees that are with you and are looking to come in, which is hopefully one thing. Because if you look at these in some ways, you turn above his head. These are the kind of things as well. That can help employers think about the challenges with attracting people.
Yeah, I think small business is more adaptable, can change quicker. But I think the other thing that's coming out here to me is that these concerns haven't changed. These employee concerns haven't changed, but they're just more critical of the employers.
Correct.
You know, they're doing a lot more critical analysis of that employer, going back to, would I really want to work there? What are the reasons that I should choose your business over your competitor's business or a different industry? So
that's
I think employees are being more analytical about what the benefits are for them. And they've got the opportunity at the moment. There's more choice for
them.
Right.
So, there is. That's right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. No, totally agree. Totally agree.
So Paul, we've covered a lot of content in this discussion and there's still quite a lot to go. It opens up so many questions. So I think if we got some more questions from our listeners, we'd be happy to come back and have a look at those questions in a bit more detail. But there's so much going on. So I think, Paul, if we just summarized our conversation today.
I think that, certainly I think it's fair to say, look, I said earlier on that we've got that perfect storm. You know, we've got employers needing to understand in terms of the importance of getting people aligned. And actually those things will lead into actually retaining good people. Once you talk through the top five or the bottom five employer concerns, you know, I think that in terms of what to do next, I hate to be boring, but in some ways, I sound like a bit of a broken record here. It's basically do the things I've talked about previously. I'd make one slight change to what I said. I think it was in November of last year. I used to talk about pre-Great Resignation race, where we said it was going to hit hardest in March 2022. I think my tip was check in with your top people. I think you now need to check in with everybody. I've worked with some clients where I've checked in with their top people and then they've got me back in to then check in with everybody. And basically check in before it's too late to try and hold on to you good people. You know, check in terms of, you know, why they joined the business, what makes them stay, and what else could improve things to make them stay as well. And as we said earlier on as well, the other context is if you have lost somebody, think outside the box in terms of what options might be out there. In terms of what else you could actually do to get the work done, perhaps in a different way.
So there's a lot there. And look, you've mentioned there's a lot of tools out there that can be used. And I think you've got some good summary of how those tools benefit to business owners. And I think the other thing that's happened, particularly in the last couple of years where cloud's become a lot more prevalent, is those tools are a lot more accessible to businesses.
Yes, right.
Having said that, you know, just because there is a tool in the tool shed, you need to know how to use it. And I think that's where getting the advice and assistance of somebody like Mr. Cripps would be very beneficial, so that you actually get the value out of it, not just that you're using the latest and greatest tool to help with understanding your employees and where they're positioned, but also understand what it means and what does it indicate for you. What do you need to change? So encourage you to look at that. We're going to put some links to those resources in the notes. Love to hear your questions. So you can put them in the comments or you can email us at podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. And look, if you have missed some of those previous discussions where we've talked about the Great Resignation race and onboarding your employees, they are all available for you to listen to. And the resources are there on the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website. So I encourage you to check those out. Mr. Cripps, Paul Cripps, it has been an absolute pleasure again.
Thank you,
always good to talk to you. And look, we will no doubt be having you back because, as I say, employees, your labour force is one of the biggest three issues that we are always hearing about from our business owners. Great to have you and thanks for sharing again. And welcome back to business as usual. What is business as usual? We're going to unpack that question in a few future discussions, hopefully to help you run great, thriving and profitable business.